Right. Good evening to everyone. We praise God. Thank God for another week, for blessing and keeping us all week long. Thank God for each of you who have joined us on tonight as we continue our this series entitled The Disciples' Call. This is part 7, and I'm going to try to cover two more of the 7 things that Paul says we should strive to maintain unity in. All right? Now, in Ephesians 4 and 3, Paul writes that walking worthy of our calling as disciples of Christ involves our endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace. Okay? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And and then he lists 7 things that we must continually work at in order to be united. He says we need to we are united in the body of Christ, the Spirit of God, hope, the faith, baptism, and our God and Father. Okay? 7 things that unite us. Now, unity doesn't happen automatically. By Paul's use of the word endeavoring, we see that this is an ongoing practice. We have to work at this, right? In order to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we have to keep working at it. It's a daily thing. Now, the devil operates on division. See, because the devil is well acquainted with the fact that a house divided against itself can't stand. He knows that. He knows that better than we do. Think about how the devil caused Adam and Eve to sin by giving them just one alternative to God's original instructions. Right? That's all. He only gave them one alternative. And he's gotten better. He's gotten better at dividing and conquering in that today there are a reported 4,200 different religions worldwide. Right? And if that's not bad enough, it's also reported that there are more than 45,000 different Christian denominations worldwide. Now, 4,200 different religions, but there are 10 times as many Christian denominations. That's 45,000 different ideas about what it takes to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's no wonder why we need to be encouraged to work daily at maintaining unity. Right? Apparently, a whole lot of people didn't listen to Paul's instructions. Right? Anytime someone would disagree with someone on one point, they'd start a new denomination. Right? 45,000. With so many different ideas, right? The best thing we can do is stay as close to the teachings of Jesus and his apostles as possible. I mean, that's our best bet, right? I mean, after all, we do say that we are followers of Jesus Christ. And so we ought to be following the teachings of Jesus. And so that's what I'm trying to do through our focus on the New Testament teachings and the Old Testament history. Now, of the seven things that Paul listed, we've already covered how we are united through the body of Christ and the Spirit of God. So tonight I'm going to try to cover being united in hope and faith. I'm putting these two together because of the distinctions that I'll have to make between the two of them anyway. Right? It might seem like these are two of the same things, hope and faith, but they aren't. Okay. First, let's look at our biblical definition of what faith is in Hebrews 11 and 1. Okay. We know. But I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Hebrews 11 and 1 from the Amplified Bible reads, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Okay? In other words, faith is all the proof we need to accept the fact that what we ask for and what God promised is already ours. Let me repeat that. Faith is all the proof that we need to accept the fact that what we ask for and what God promised to us is already ours. It already belongs to us. Now, hope is different. Hope is the sure and confident expectation of receiving what God has promised us in the future. Let's say that again. Hope is the sure and confident expectation of receiving what God has promised us in the future. Okay? We have faith for the promises that already came. We have hope for those promises that will come later. Okay? Now, the call of every disciple is a faith call. First, we must believe in God. We must have faith in God. Look at Hebrews. If you're still in Hebrews, turn to Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 11 and 6. And Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," to please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, that in itself distinguishes disciples of Christ from many other religions in the world. Why? Because unlike other religions, we don't become followers based on the works that we do. We only need to believe in God's existence and diligently seek a relationship with him. Got to want to have a relationship with him. Okay? That's different from other religions. You know, according to most of them, many of them, it's works-based. So first we have to have faith in God. Then we must have faith in his son. According to John 14 and 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Okay? Our faith rests on who God is and what he has promised us through his son. Remember John 3 and 16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Right? Our faith, it rests on who God is. He loved us so much that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him, that's the promise, whoever believes in God would not, or in him, in his son, would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Believing that God sent his son into this world is all the faith we need to know that we have everlasting life. That faith right there is enough. Now, the word goes further in Romans 8, Romans 10, 8 and 9. Right? It goes further into what we believe about the Son of God. Again, this is Paul who writes, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word of faith that was being preached, that's the word of faith that was being preached, right? If you confess with your mouth, if you confess Jesus Christ with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And that's the word of faith that we stand on. That's the word of faith that we are united in. We are united in the truth that salvation is rooted in faith, not in our works, not in our church attendance, not in our giving or anything else. Our salvation is rooted in faith. Because of faith, the faith that God gave his Son, and his Son gave his life for ours, and was resurrected from the grave. Because of that, because we have faith in that, we believe that salvation belongs to us. Right? And to everyone who has that same faith, whether they are black, white, right? Rich, poor, young or old. Everyone who has that faith has also the assurance of their salvation. And we are able to say, I am saved. Now, all of us who are saved, all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we are saved because of our faith in the fact that God sent his Son. His Son gave his life. And God raised him from the dead. Right? Amen. Now, our faith, it assures us of many promises. There are many promises. Let's look. Let's look at John 14, verses 12 through 14. John 14, beginning at verse 12. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, here we go, he that has faith in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. 13 says, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's so much to stand on. There's so much for faith to stand on in that particular passage, right? First of all, Jesus says that if we put our faith in him, we will be able to do greater works than he did. All right? Take that in one moment, right? Our faith, right, which is the proof that what we ask for and what we promised belongs to us, it is ours, right? So if we have faith, if we believe in Jesus, Jesus says, we will do greater works than him. So what did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk, the dumb to talk. He turned water to wine. He fed thousands with a few fish and loaves of bread. He cast out demons. And he raised the dead. And then he promised us, right? That particular passage, John 14, Jesus promises us, if we believe in him, we'll do even greater works than that. Oh, my goodness. And let's not forget that while Jesus was doing all of that, he was teaching people how to become fishers of men. So our faith in Jesus Christ, right, is all the proof that we need to stand on God's promise that we will be able to do greater works than him. We should stand united in the truth that Jesus said, what whatever we ask in his name, he will do it. Faith dictates that according to Jesus' promise, we can have whatever we ask in his name. If we have faith, if we believe, right, we can, whatever we ask, so we can ask him to heal the sick, and he promised he would do it. We can ask him to give sight to the blind, and he promised he would do it if we have faith. Right? Now, I want you to get this. The faith that brought us to salvation is also the hope of our salvation. Let me repeat that. The faith that brought us to salvation is also the hope of our salvation. How can I say that? I can say that because by faith we believe we are saved. But saved from what? We are saved from something. Salvation isn't something that we possess. It's not a thing that we possess. It's not an item, an article. No. Salvation is an event that will take place in the future. Right? Come on and look at a few passages with me. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. First Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 19. King James Version, the word says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is it, if this is all there is, right, what's going on here in this world, Paul says, no. 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. There's the hope. There's the hope. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. Amen. Paul is speaking of a future event that the hope of all of Christ's disciples should be rooted in. We should all be rooted in, right? We stand in the hope that Christ is going to return to destroy all of his and our enemies. And the last enemy that he's going to destroy is called death. That's our hope. We stand on that hope. That our faith, that our salvation is not it. It's not all that there is. But we also stand in hope that the Jesus who saved us is also going to return to destroy every enemy and our enemy, which is called death. All right? Stay there in that chapter and turn over to look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Paul says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Verse 54 says, "So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Praise God. Amen. Now listen, as disciples of Christ, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we stand with Paul and all of the apostles on the hope that Jesus will one day defeat and destroy not only all of his enemies, but the one enemy that is truly ours. And our enemy is called death. Yeah. In Romans 6 and 28, Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, death is the consequence of sin. Death is the consequence of sin. Okay? Sinners are going to be punished with death. Right? Now, unlike Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam, right, they stand on the hope of karma. You're going to get what you back according to how you live. But with faith, we stand in the confidence that we are saved through Jesus Christ. And we also stand on the hope that Christ is returning to defeat every enemy and reign over us as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for the rest of eternity. Our hope of salvation is that when Jesus returns, right, we will be saved from death and sin. That's our hope of salvation. Our faith says that because Jesus came into this world, hung, bled, died, and rose again, right? Because he gave his life for ours, right? And because we believe in that, we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. I am saved. But the hope of my salvation, the hope of your salvation, right, is that when Jesus comes, we will not see death in hell. All right? And you look at in Revelations, and the word will tell you that, right, whenever Jesus comes, that he is going to take death and hell and throw both of them in the lake of fire. Praise God. Amen. Death and hell. Now, for all of the sinners who did not receive salvation through Jesus Christ, right? Their wages is death. And so all of the sinners who receive the wages of death are going to be thrown in the lake of fire. But all of us, all of those who have been saved by the grace of God through faith, praise God, we will stand with Jesus, and these mortal bodies are going to be made immortal. These bodies we have now, you know, they have a time limit on it. There's an expiration date on these bodies. There's an expiration date on this heart. There's an expiration date, right, on these lungs. But, right, whenever Jesus returns, praise God, our hope is that when he returns, these mortal bodies are going to be made immortal. And then we will be able to live eternally with Jesus Christ. Amen? That is our faith and the hope on which we stand as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible gives us so many other promises of God for which we can place our faith on. It gives us so many other promises of God for us to put our hope in. Right. These are just foundational truths. But if we put our hope in these things, just like the songwriter said, on Christ, the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand, right? He says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we We rejoice in you, and we thank you. God, we thank you for the faith that you give us. God, that you give us faith, Lord. That you build up our faith, God, for us to believe. God, you reveal yourself to us. We thank you, O God, that we see the awesomeness of your power. And Father, and Lord, that we become convinced. We become convinced that you are God. And Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. I thank you, Lord, that God, not only us, but Lord, all throughout the world who have this same faith, who have this same hope in the return of your Son. Father, I thank you. And God, we stand together. I thank you, Lord, that we are able to stand in unity. And Lord, I thank you that where there is unity, there is strength. Thank you, Lord. Help us, O God, to stand on the truth of your word. And Father, that we would not be deceived by the lies, the tricks, the traps of the enemy. There are so many pitfalls, so many potholes, God, for us to fall into. 45,000. Different Christian denominations. Lord, help us to stay true to your word. Help us, O God. I pray that you would increase our faith. And Father, that our hope will be in nothing but the return of your Son and the defeat of the enemy. I thank you, O God, and I ask you, Lord, to strengthen us in the power of your might. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.